We're doing the Chazanish. We're up to chapter 13 in the first section. And the Chazanish has been describing the evolvement of man philosophically, the evolvement of emunah, how man is supposed to look at the world and recognize a creator. The Chazanish began with that deep question that sits deep in a person's heart, the question of, is there real clarity that there is a creator? And then the Chazanish went on to tackle that question. And then the Chazanish discussed imagination versus reality, wisdom versus foolishness. The Chazanish discussed the idea that in other realms of wisdom, one can grow even though one is insensitive. But in the realm of Torah, one is limited in one's growth unless one develops a sensitivity. And now the Chazanish is moving on in the evolvement of one's traits. And the Chazanish is going to begin with a concept called Sur Meira Va'asei Tov. The verse says, veer away from evil and do good. And our sages understood that these are two components in growth. One is cease to do that which is wrong, and the other is begin to do that which is right. And there are two different concepts. Okay, there's a guy who says, I'm going to stop drinking coffee. I'm going to stop drinking Excel. I'm going to stop taking these caffeinated energy drinks. And then there's another guy who says, I'm going to start drinking vegetable juice. I'm going to start drinking water. I'm going to start drinking the healthy stuff for me. Two different things. One is I'm veering away from that which is bad for me. The other is I'm going to start doing that which is good for me. Says the Chazanish on page Yud, Shoresh Tikkun Amidot Usur Meira. The root of fixing one's traits is to veer away from that which is bad. Okay? Veering away from that which is bad. Not to yell at people. Not to be violent. Not to be angry. Not to do things that are dishonest. Not to be cruel. Not to say things that are prohibited. The root of fixing one's traits is veering away from that which is wrong. And it is more comfortable, it is more convenient for man to focus on doing that which is good, which is important. It is so difficult to fulfill that first one, turning away from that which is bad.
So counterintuitive.
Why?
Because to do things takes energy. To not do things, you just sit there.
No, because here you're talking about changing a habit. I can do good. I can yell at you, and then I could give charity. And then I could tell myself, I'm a good Jew. I give charity. So we're very apt to do good and then feel good about ourselves and ignore that we haven't changed our bad habits.
I think it's pretty easy to just not yell. You just have to sit there. Yelling takes energy.
Maybe that's not a challenge for you. But if you think about the things that are challenging to you, you'll see that changing those habits are very hard. Every one of us has, that's what Rav Dessler writes in his book. We each have our realm of challenges. For one guy, when he walks by a store, the idea of not shoplifting is very hard. Walking through a store and not taking things that aren't his is very hard. For the next guy, he doesn't have that challenge. He walks by and he doesn't feel like it. I used to walk by, in Chinatown, I used to walk by a store that sold pork. And they had pork in the window roasting in front of you. And I could vomit from the smell. And I had zero yetzer hara. You know, it didn't attract zero. You know, if you paid me money, I wouldn't want to eat that. It had nothing, zero. But other people, I'd see Chinese standing there looking at those pigs, salivating. You know, okay, so that's there. For them, it's not a yetzer hara, it's not prohibited. But I'm saying we each have different realms of challenges. And that's normal. What attracts one doesn't attract the other. There are certain things that attract all of us. But then there are things, every person has a different yetzer hara. And we look at the next guy's yetzer hara, and we can't understand him. Why does he find it so hard? Okay, each person has a different yetzer hara. I have a friend who's very organized. So he can't understand why people can't show up on time for davening. Because he's always on time for everything. So he doesn't have that yetzer hara. He doesn't understand the people who show up late for davening. He doesn't understand it. How could people not be on time? Why aren't they on time? They just plan their day and they get there on time.
It's already on the Asei Tov level.
Okay. We each have our challenge. So the Chazon Ish says it is most difficult to fulfill sur mira, to veer away from that which is bad. There are those people who are very willing to dedicate their strength for the benefit of others, be it an individual or the masses. But there are people who are also most angry. There are people who are difficult. They're very good. They have a lot of kindness. There's a lot of good in them. But they also have a certain problem with their character. And when someone dares say something that in the slightest way offends them, they get angry, an anger that has no limits, that has no stop. And their fists come flying with murderous blows. Woe to the person who dares insult them. Now, this, unfortunately, so this is a possibility. The guy can be super dedicated to helping other people, but if you dare say something wrong to him, it's a problem. It's impossible to sense honor, praise, or glorify such a person who's working on behalf of other people, because this guy never worked on fixing his traits. So he'll say, but I donate millions of dollars to the public fund. But it's within his nature to always be dealing, wheeling and dealing on behalf of others. He loves creating. And generally, it's very pleasant for him, that feeling that people admire him, those that he knows. And people actually do benefit from him. And in fact, yes, he is praised the same way you would praise an object that's very useful. אבל מהולל איש בשכלו, וזה תגמול החכם שעמל בשליטת הנפש על נטיות רוחו בטבעו. But the real praise for a human being is when we value his mind, when we see a person who's taken control of his traits. לא יתעלל בו גבר על תנותיו הטבעיות. No one praises someone for their natural movements. Things that come natural to us are not praiseworthy. So when it's within our nature to be kind, giving, caring people, that's very nice. But what do we do with the parts of our character that are problematic? And if we don't master them, so then the only reason that people value such a person is because he's useful. So they value his use. They don't value the human part of him. The human part of us is that which can conquer ourselves, that which allows us to be godly in our ability to change. So it could be I have a certain trait, but I can conquer that. Now, I want to add a point here. We'll see in a second the conclusion of the Chazon Ish, but there's a mode of thinking that we have to enter. And that's, as parents, we will tell our children, think before you act. So the child says, I did think, and I thought I wanted to hit him with a bat and not with my fist. So I hit him with a bat. I thought about it. So what we mean is not think before you act. What we mean is think what's correct before you act. We do think before we act. We think it through. And I would say that there's a thought that's a little different that's called think what Hashem wants of you before you act. That's a habit we have to create. Because very often we want to do something. I'll tell you a true story that happened this week and a few years ago. There's a Jew I know who was learning in a shul called Bnei Torah that just became famous this week when four rabbis were murdered there. And he was learning in that base medrash on a Thursday night. It was Thursday afternoon, And he had a steady chavrusa for about a decade in a yeshiva called Merkaz Harav. And he was in the middle of learning, and the time came for him to travel to Merkaz Harav Thursday evening. And he sees he's in the middle of a subject, and he should really finish that subject, because if he waits till Sunday when the weekend's over, then he'll have forgotten everything he's worked out. He won't finish it. He'll have to start from scratch. So he calls his chavrus and he says, look, I know we learned daf yomi now. Do you mind? You do the daf without me. I'll do the daf later. But let me, I'm in the middle of a subject. I need to finish it before I leave for the weekend. So his chavrus says, fine. His chavrus sits and learns, and he sits and learns. So he continues learning in Bnei Torah and comes home at the regular time, only to hear that in Merkaz Harav, where he sat for the last 10 years, there's been a terrorist attack. And he wasn't there because he was learning. And he thought, what should I be doing now? I shouldn't be going to Merkaz Harav, even though my habit is to go, but I should finish what I'm doing now. So he stayed there. And then this week, it was Monday night, and he was deliberating where he should go. And his wife said to him, go to sleep in Hernov. We have relatives there. You'll get up, you'll daven in Bnei Torah, and then you'll move on with your life. And he said, but then you'll have to deal with all the kids in the morning, and that's not fair. And then he weathered a lot of challenges because the bus service was down already on Monday. And he didn't go to Hernov. He went to help his wife. And had he gone, I don't know which minyan he would have been at, but very possibly he would have been there. Now, again, I'm telling you the story firsthand, not a story that's written in a book. That's a calculation, not what would I like to do. He was very near Hernov, and he had a long journey to get home. But the question is, how do you calculate things? Do you ask what's comfortable for me, or do you ask what does Hashem want of me? And so this idea that the Chazon Ish is saying, a person is praised for his mind, for his thought. What am I going to do? That means that self-control comes when I get used to thinking, what does Hashem want of me? It's not just, do I think, what am I going to do? What would I like to do? I thought about it. Of course I thought. The question is, what am I thinking? And that's a formula that we can get into the habit of using. Obviously, it can be refined. It can be honed. But first, we have to get that into our heads. That's what I have to ask myself. What does Hashem want me to do now? If I'd really think that before I act, so then most of life's challenges would fall by the wayside. I'd be able to overcome them. Most of the time, it's pretty clear what Hashem wants of us. Most of the time. The question is, do we ask ourselves that question? Coming back to the Chazon Ish, we value a person when they take control of their traits, of their behavior, of their character. It's not easy. It is probably the hardest challenge in life. I don't know if there's a harder challenge. You know, we're reading it and we're saying it in simplistic terms. Just take control. Yeah, right. It's a lifelong journey. It's a lifelong task. But that's the direction. Masebes Chasid Echad. The Chazon Ish concludes this section with a story. There was this pious person, Shezmino Reach Lesuo Ditzlo B'Shabbat. He invites someone to eat by him on Shabbos. And everyone in his house was already excited. They're going to have this guest over. They're all getting ready. His family also liked having guests. And by the way, you guys should, you set the tone. If a guest comes and you say, oy vey, we have to prepare the table, and now they're going to eat my favorite dessert, and it means much more work, so then your kids will feel like guests are tedious. But if you give them the feeling, it's so exciting, this Shabbos we're going to have a guest, so then you could set that tone, and then they all get excited over the guest. But the way they had it in shuls, up until our generation, up until 30, 40 years ago, at the end of shul, someone would stand in the back, and he would divide this guest. He would ask each person, can you have a guest? And he'd match up guests with hosts. So the guy standing in the back is giving out the guests to the different members of the shul, and he didn't realize that this pious person had already invited this guest. He sees a new face and he sets him up for a meal. And he sends the guest to one of the hosting families that he has lined up. So at the end of shul, the spies person comes back. He comes to the back of the shul and he sees his guest is gone. And he comes home all alone and all the kids, everyone's waiting for the guest. He comes home and the family says, hey, where's the guest? And he says, gee, he was taken by someone else. And so everyone got very upset. So the pious person, he said to his family, guess what? He's not a commodity. We don't do business and trade with this guest. Gee, Dad, why didn't you bring him home? What I was concerned was that he has that he's taken care of, that he's given food, he has what it takes. But what difference does it make if I gave it to him or someone else gave it to him? I wanted to make sure he had to eat, he has to eat. I want to make sure he has a place to sleep, he has a place to sleep. So he's taken care of. That's what we wanted. But that's not the way the common class views it. If a person wants to be the one who does good, so then he gets very upset if someone else does it. A guy wants to read Megillas Esther. He loves reading Megillas Esther. Dare someone else take it from him? And if someone else does, is he happy or is he upset? Wait a second. Do you like reading the Megillah, or do you like the Megillah to be read nicely? No, I like reading the Megillah, so then you're not serving anyone. You're serving your own nature. We're serving what we want. And you'll see this over and over again. There are many examples for this. So this is the conclusion of this section. Chazon Ish says, at the root is sur meira. A person has to be willing to challenge himself to conquer his traits. It's not enough that we're asei tov, we're doing good. And we could say it a little bit more harshly that if we're only doing good, but we haven't taken control of our traits, then even the good that we're doing can often be tainted by those traits that we didn't conquer, as the example that Chazon Ish gave. So that's... should we expand on this or end it here?
All these questions.
Huh. You guys want to hear an expansion or we'll move forward to Tehillim? 2 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. So we live in a world where good and bad are sometimes confused. Is it good to is it good to help a person commit suicide? Is it we have a student here who told me that whenever they'd have guests on over for dinner, his father would always ask his friends the following 2 questions. Do you have a pet? And invariably they'd say yes. They grew up in a place where everyone had pets. And then he'd ask them, if you saw your pet drowning and a complete stranger drowning in the river, and you could only save one of them, which would you save? And all his friends answered, the pet. All of them answered the pet. So now the question of what's good and bad can be very confusing. What do you mean? Shouldn't I be faithful to my pet? You hear people saying when they hear someone lost a child, they say, yeah, I lost the pet. So the pet means a lot to them. But is the pet human? Is there a difference between an animal and a human? If we don't work on clarifying our philosophies and our traits, then that affects even the good that we try to do. Where do we give our donations to? How do we give our donations? So the Chazon Ish is saying there's a responsibility to evolve and work towards what's right, and it's not only about doing good. It's also about developing our character and correcting that which is wrong. And one without the other is problematic. And the easier route is to focus on doing good. That's much easier than to focus on fixing our character. I want to add one thing, which is a little bit of a chutzpah of me to do, but you'll forgive me, I'm going to do it anyways. The Chassidut has a different approach than the Chazon Ish. So even though we're learning Chazon Ish, I am injecting a slightly different view. What the Chazon Ish said is wonderful and important, and he doesn't need my approval. Who am I to say anything about the Chazon Ish? But in Chassidut, they say that sometimes we can work to Sur Meira through Asei Tov. Sometimes you can work to perfecting one's character by focusing on doing good. If I only focus on changing that which is wrong, sometimes I don't have the internal fortitude to conquer that. But if I'm productive in the positive, and through that I try to channel my energies to fixing that which is wrong in my character, then sometimes working on the positive can help me undo that which is wrong. So Chassidut is also saying, like the Chazon Ish, that it is imperative to fix that which is wrong in one's character. Chassidut only says a slightly gentler form than the Chazon Ish said. Instead of dividing it as two realms, Chassidut says you can sometimes fuse the two. By focusing on the positive, one can change the negative. One of the greatest ways that people change is by taking on responsibility to help others. Very often a problematic child in school can grow when they're given responsibility to educate a younger child. The fact that they're responsible to give forces them to change. I remember a whole class of madrichim in Bnei Akiva from a country, from a different continent, not from around here. They all came with the following question. They were visiting in Israel, and we had a Q&A session, and they asked, how are we supposed to educate our students to keep Shabbos if we don't? That was their question. How are we supposed to educate our chanichim to wear a yarmulke when we only wear a yarmulke when we're in Bnei Akiva? If we don't wear a yarmulke the rest of the time, so aren't we being hypocrites? So they asked a sincere question. Now, where would the answer lie? The answer is, you want to be an educator, maybe you have to change, right? You can't educate something that's not real by you. So then part of the growth of an educator is, let's work to make it real. So I'm saying that's part of the tool of a Asei Tov being a function to allow us to conquer the Sur Meira. That's the Chassidut approach. And I think there's room to see that as not contradicting, but supplementing the Chazon Ish.